right. Good morning. Things are a little bit different in here today, aren't they? Getting all ready for Bible school. I was just trying to figure out where I was going to sit up here. Why am I standing with the horses? Right. Yeah, someone suggested sit on the saddle. I thought, that would have been entertaining. But so glad you're here today. I'm going to ask my ushers if they would come, please. If you're visiting with us for the first time, we're always excited when we have new faces here. And so they have a visitor welcome packet they'd like to give you. When they get to the front, turn around and start walking back. If you would just slip your hand in the air, they'll make sure that you get one. And then if you would, fill out that information card for me on the inside. Place that in the offering plate here in a little while when it gets passed around, and they'll make sure that the office gets that. But I do hope I'll be able to shake your hand before you leave this morning. And I'm sure your hand's already been shook several times by other folks here. Let me take a moment and go through some of the announcements here. In the bulletin tonight, we have a pie and coffee fellowship after the evening service. And that's in honor of and for Pastor Taylor, who is with us. I'm going to have Pastor Taylor come right now, in fact, and he's got a greeting or something that he's going to say a few words to you guys. We've been waiting a long time for this, haven't we? And we rejoice in the answers to prayer that God led him and brought him here when he and I first started talking last November, I think it was. And it's been amazing the way just God has worked and brought us to this day right here.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your prayers and thoughts and everything else. As we made our way on Monday, we turned an 8-hour trip into a 12-hour trip. We're just good like that. But I just want to thank you for all those that showed up and helped us move everything in. It took us a lot longer to pack it than to unload it, but that was awesome. Thank you again, and we're very excited to be here to minister at Grace in Taylorville. Never thought that this would happen, but you know, God works in mysterious ways, so thank you so much, and we definitely need more prayers, for sure. I think I messed up the computers on the first day in my office, so I'm just not so high-tech, but just be in prayer that Jim Hanley doesn't kill me before next week, but again... We sure need your prayers for sure in the transition, but then we definitely would covet your prayers for Dayton Center Church as they try to find a pastor to lead them on to the next journey for them. So I just really would love your prayers for them as well. Thank you.
Okay, so there is a pie and coffee fellowship tonight after the evening service. Give you a chance to get to know Pastor Taylor. Renew your acquaintance with him, or just to learn a little bit about him if you don't know anything at all. So he'll be here tonight, him and his wife. She's here right now, in fact. And their three children are here. You can see two of them, but one of them is not quite here yet. Due date September, right, Keeley? All right. So we're going to have a new member here coming shortly. And so tonight, right after the evening service, plan on sticking around for that pie and coffee fellowship. There are some things we've got to squeeze into our schedule today. It's going to make things a little tight for some people, but we've got to do some of these things. After the evening service tonight, right after the evening service, Mrs. Foyle said 10 minutes. She needs to meet with everyone working in Bible school. So tonight, after church, right down here, piano side, 10 minutes, and then we can go ahead and move over into the fellowship time. This morning, after, let me make sure I got all of these things right. No, tonight, after the fellowship is over with, those that are going on the missions trip, we need to have a meeting tonight, so when things are winding down with the fellowship time, I'll come and tap you on the shoulder. We'll just go to a side room and go over some things for our missions trip. And before the evening service, it's getting crazy here. If you are a counselor for Bible school, if you're one of our children's counselors, I need to meet with you at 5:15. At 5:15, if you can make sure you'll be here for that, so we can go over some things about counseling with children. And Now we have another new face to introduce. Dave, if you would just stand up. I'll have you come up here in just a minute, but just stand up so folks can see you. This is Dr. Dave Myers. He is the new director of the Association of Independent Baptist Churches of Illinois. You can go ahead and be seated. I'm just going to make you get up and down. That's all right. And he'll come up here in a little bit and lead us in prayer. And then just kind of introduce some of you who aren't familiar with the AIBCI that we support. He'll introduce you to that ministry. And in fact, some of you know this already, but when Grace Baptist Church started, the AIBCI was instrumental in providing guidance and counsel and filling the pulpit while the church was beginning to form. And to this day, the organization still does that. They just focus on planting churches in Illinois. So please take a look at this week's opportunities. We do have Bible school every day this week, Monday through Friday, from 9 to 11:45. If you have to call the office during those times, you might just get the answering machine because everyone that's going to be here is busy doing something. We'll do our best to get the phones answered, but otherwise we might ask you to just wait till the afternoon to call. And Golden Prayer Warrior Walk, it's not happening this week. So notice that Tuesday morning, that's not happening. Wednesday night, there's no midweek prayer service. But the Thursday Parkland Bible study is still going to be taking place Thursday afternoon. Now, the Bible School Carnival, 6 o'clock Friday night. That's when we're going to meet here, start right in here, and then move on outside for the carnival. We would invite you to come, even if you have nothing to do with Bible school all week long. Please come to the closing program and the carnival time afterwards. Now, why would I want you to come? Well, there's slushies, there's cotton candy, there's hot dogs, there's all that good stuff that you get at a carnival. But more importantly, we do the carnival for one reason. All week long, we have these children here. And we, as tradition is, you always have a closing program at the end of the week, and some come, some don't. So we have this huge carnival, and their parents have to bring them to the carnival / closing program. So moms and dads, they'll get to hear the gospel while they're here Friday night. But then here's where y'all can help too. We're going to have all these visitors here, and we need Grace Baptist Church people to connect with them while they're here. Not in the church service, but when they're outside at the carnival, just spending some time saying, hey, how you doing? Introduce yourself and just connect with them so they would feel more comfortable to come back, to allow their children to come back maybe on our bus route. So please plan on being here Friday night at 6 o'clock for that closing program. And then, not most importantly, but maybe equally as important, Saturday morning, 9 o'clock, church cleanup. All of this stuff has to disappear before next Sunday. And so the cleanup is going to start Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. I won't take the time to go ahead and read through the rest of the bulletin. Y'all can do that. Let's go ahead and turn our hearts now towards our worship time together. Dr. Dave, would you come, please? Lead us in prayer.
Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for the local church. We're thankful for the Word of God that has been given to us. We're thankful for the Holy Spirit that speaks to our hearts. And Lord, most of all, for you sending your Son to die for us. And we're thankful, Lord, that we can meet together this great day and remember, Lord, your death for us, your resurrection, your purpose in us winning, being saved, and seeing other souls brought to you. We bless this church. Bless the pastor, Pastor Taylor, and New today. We pray that you bless them and just give them many years of service and ministry. And just, Lord, bless this service as we worship you. Be honored by all we say and do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My name is Dave Myers, and my wife, Marcia. I'll make her stand up once, one time. There was a song. I don't know. Did you want to do the song, or you want to wait for the song after? Okay.
Let's stand together and sing page 171. It's great to know a Savior in the time of a storm.
First, this year, my wife and I became the director, mission director for the Association of Independent Baptist Churches of Illinois. We have been in Illinois now for 18 years. God has blessed us. We've pastored First Baptist Church in Pecatonica, Illinois. Anybody been to Pecatonica? No. Well, it's pretty far north for you. It's outside of Rockford, and we're just about 15 miles from Wisconsin. So we can go to Wisconsin and get gas. That's the big deal. You still got a long way to go south to get gas. But anyway, we are privileged to be here. We've been in the ministry now for 36 years, and on the East Coast. I'm from the East Coast, Eastern Pennsylvania, and we pastored out there, assistant pastor, and then started a church in Long Island, New York. God called us to Pecatonic. It's my wife's home church, and we've been there now for 18 years. I've been part of the board and the association all those years, and God has blessed, and really we're excited. Most of you, we appreciate Brother Nelson. We appreciate he and Jan and what they did for the association, and God has blessed it now over 50 years. 35 churches have been started. I believe 22 of them, including yourself, are still going. And God has blessed us over the years, and we want to continue to do that. Let me just say this. When the Lord began to work in our heart, Brother Dave Anderson, who's the president of the board, Pastors Heritage Baptist Church in Roscoe, Illinois, he approached me about perhaps being the director, and I said no immediately. And I wasn't done pastoring, didn't know that was the direction God wanted us to go. And he said the magic words for every Christian, which is, will you pray about it? And you really can't say no to that. I mean, there's just no, okay, yeah, I'll pray about it, but really didn't think that was how the Lord would lead. But over time, he did, began to burden our heart. My son has become my assistant. He works full-time, but he is preaching today in my absence, and it works pretty well. We're gone a week or two a month. Three to four churches a month representing the association, and he preaches for me when I'm gone, and God has blessed that. Our church has been very receptive. They realize that it's certainly a sacrifice for them, but they have God has blessed our church and continues to do that. So we're excited about the association and what God is doing. Let me just say a little bit about the association again. The words mean something. When I began to think about this, I said to my wife, we're going to pray about being director for the association. And she said, well, what does it do? And immediately I was in trouble because I thought, boy, as a pastor, my wife doesn't even know what it does. And I began to talk to the people in our church and began to try to let them know a little bit. I met family, about 20 to 25 of our families individually. And invariably, the very first question was, well, what does it do? And so I began to realize that we really needed someone to let people know what it does. And so it is an association. Some people get a little iffy about that, you know, but it's an association. It's simply a fellowship. It's a group of churches that have come together with one purpose. and that is to strengthen our churches and to build churches in Illinois, to start churches in Illinois. It's independent. That means each individual church is its own independent entity. We have no governing over you. We have no pressure over you. We cannot. You are a congregation, as you know, and biblically, a New Testament local church, and God has leads you in those things. But in that, we come together for a purpose. And God wants us, so we are independent, but I like to say we're also interdependent. You look at the New Testament, and the churches helped churches. They helped each other. There was an offering taken for the church at Jerusalem. There was all kinds of different things done for each other and to help each other and strengthen each other. And I think that's important. So we are an association, but we are independent. That seems like kind of a oxymoron, I guess, a little bit, but It is simply that we come together. We've been doing it for missions around the world forever, and we need to do it. We need to do it for local, or for our state, and locally as well, and to be a help in that. So it's an association of independent Baptists, and we are Baptist churches. Amen. I'm a Baptist. I grew up in a Baptist church. When I was a year old, my parents were Mennonite, and they were raised Mennonite. They were born again. They believed in the Mennonite church at that point, believed in sprinkling. My pastor came to the conviction of baptism by immersion and began to preach that. It wasn't very long before the denomination kicked him out, and he started Faith Baptist Church in Sellersville, Pennsylvania. My parents were two of the 30 adults that left with him. I have a video, back then it was Super 8, I guess, home movies, of my parents being baptized in a swimming pool. And it's pretty exciting, pretty great heritage. But I was a year old, so I didn't really know anything about it. But over the years, heard that testimony of my pastor, and God certainly blessed. But we're Baptist churches. You know, again, are there Baptist churches that don't stand right? Absolutely, but we want historically to be what the New Testament is, and I believe that's a Baptist church, and not ashamed of the title. I heard an illustration not too long ago. You know, as the older I get, the more time I spend in the pharmacy, you know, and getting prescriptions for this thing or that thing. And when I go to the pharmacy, you know, if you take a new prescription, now they give you a book, you know. I mean, it's paper after paper of this thing and this instruction and that instruction and when to take it and how to take it and what the side effects could be. But if you got a bottle that was a prescription that you were going to take and it didn't have a label on it, would you take it? Probably not. When I go to the grocery store looking for a can of green beans, I want a can that has a label on it that says green beans. Now, there are about 10 kinds of green beans nowadays, but I want a can that has, you know, there are scratch and dent and all that, and that's fine if you don't care what's in the can. But if you care what's in the can, you want a can that has a label on it. And I think we need to have churches that are labeled. People need to know what we are. Now, people that are outside this building don't know what's inside here. It's one of the reasons we try to get people. You have this Friday night, Carney, you're trying to get people to come in and see what you are. And we're not ashamed of being a Baptist church. And God blesses that, I believe. So we're an association of independent Baptist churches, obviously local churches, churches with a purpose, churches that are doing God's work. We'll see this more in the message in the morning service, but God has the church. It is his plan for today. It's his plan to reach people for Christ. It's his plan to reach the world for Christ. It's his plan to reach our communities for Christ. The local church is God's plan for this age. And we are churches. And so we're Association of Independent Baptist Churches of Illinois. Now, can I just say this? Being from somewhere else, that Illinois is different. Now, that's not always a bad thing, right? But it's different. I'm from eastern Pennsylvania, and born and raised there. My parents lived there up until last Thanksgiving. We moved them. I'm an only child, and we moved my parents out to Illinois. But Illinois, then we pastored in Long Island, New York. And when I came out here, people would often ask me the question, well, what's the difference between New York and Illinois? And obviously there are some differences, simply not a big difference between where we were in Chicago maybe, but obviously out here in country and so forth, different. But one of the things that we realize is that every state, every culture, every community is different. And Illinois churches and Illinois people know Illinois. And we charge churches that are geared to the communities. I had never lived in a small town. Our town is 2,000 people. Our town is a clique. It just is. I drive school bus because, well, I needed it at one point, but now I do it because it makes me part of the community. I went to a basketball game one time, and I was sitting there, and the lady said, oh, do you have someone playing? I said, no, I'm just watching the game. She said, well, why are you here? Like, I can't go to a ball game, because But we begin, you have to know the community. You have to know the culture. And so Illinois churches, starting Illinois churches is not necessarily a mandatory thing, but we ought to be able to do it better than others. So we're an association of independent Baptist churches of Illinois. Right now, as you probably know, and we appreciate, for many years I was the treasurer, bookkeeper, and we appreciate your faithful support of the association. I want to thank you for that. As you know, it goes to the office and things, running things, my salary partially, whatever. But it goes primarily to starting churches. There was a time when we kind of lost our way in that, and we were doing a lot of different things, and it wasn't really carrying out its purpose. And as I've been on the board in the last 10 years, and your pastor has been as well, we've seen a refocus to doing what God has called us to do and to planting churches in Illinois. We pray, I hope you pray for the church in Shorewood. I hope you pray for the Barbers. They're our church planter right now. But they're getting ready. At the end of this year, they'll be self-supporting. They'll be apart from the association, that six-year program. And God has blessed them. I just got a report from Brother Barber. The month of June was the best month they've ever had. I think they averaged 58 or 59 on Sundays. And they are raising money to purchase land, to try to build a building. They've been meeting in a school since its beginning. But God has blessed them. Brother Barber's a hard worker. He's out knocking on doors. They've had a lot of help. They have a couple Saturdays coming up, the 13th and then of July and then August. I believe it's the 4th. They're going to be, churches are going to be coming together to kind of help, knock on doors and some things. But they continue to do that. And God has blessed them. They continue to see God working there. So I hope you pray for them. But pray for this. Pray for the next church planter. Three things, and we'll see this a little bit in the morning service, but three things it takes. It takes a church that will mother the new church. It takes a man or family who will commit to going, or a team, and it takes a place. We don't necessarily care which one of those comes first, but we're praying. I'm praying faithfully, and I hope you will, for the next place, the next church, the next man, family who will commit to starting a church here in Illinois. And so we're excited about that. And our state needs it. And we need, the way we're going to change our state is through the gospel. And we need to be faithful to that. So again, appreciate your support, your prayers over the years. I hope you'll get to know we have a couple things. Bi-monthly, we're putting out a newsletter. There are some back there, but your pastor has one. He can make copies as well. We have a prayer bulletin. This monthly bulletin on the first of the month, you pray for certain churches, and all the churches in the state that are part of the association are on this. That's in the back there as well. And then just a little pamphlet that pray for us, pray for the association, and all those things are back there on the table. So we appreciate it. Hope we get to meet you. It's a privilege to be here today. And we thank you for your support once again, Pastor. Yes, I agree. It's good to be in a good Baptist church. And this Baptist church believes that Jesus paid it all. Let's sing that together as we sing 276. This is hard to stand in.
If they'll come, please, as we take this morning's offering. Tim, would you lead us in prayer?
here on this earth to trust and obey. And then as the choir sang, we'll get to serve God forever in heaven. What a privilege we as Christians have. Let's trust and obey. Page 385. Sample's going to come now and sing down here at the old corral, okay? And she's going to bless God with a song, Bragging on Our Savior.
Am I on?
Yes.
I say that because whenever I have trouble with my phone or computer, I call the 8-year-old grandson and I say, would you like to come see Grandma? And he figures there's something he has to do. But isn't that how we are with all the excitement of Bible school? I've seen so much of it this week. And the love and the sharing. And there were young children here and they would go in and out every room and say, do you need any help? And I thought, this is the most exciting thing we can do. We're going to have young souls here that we can win for Christ. And what more of a reward could we have than to do that? So I'm hoping God's presence stays in this church for a very long time.
Of angel wings, I see glory.
Pastor asked me if I move around much when I preach, and I usually do, but this may corral me a little bit. I don't know. We'll see. Take your Bibles this morning to Acts chapter 13, if you would.
My wife has had the privilege of hearing me preach for many years, but particularly until we began this ministry, I rarely ever preached the same message twice. And just pastoring churches, you just continue to do something different. And been preaching now as we've been traveling, primarily one or two messages. But I told her today, you're going to get to hear something different. So she's excited about that. You don't know the difference. I understand that. But, you know, I appreciate that song. What a blessing. And, you know, the Bible says where two or three are gathered together, there I am in the midst. My pastor used to always have the phrase, practice the presence of God. And, you know, if we remember that God is with us all the time, he sees everything we do. But we know that his presence is with us today. What a blessing. Thank you. Acts 13. It says, now there were in the church, it was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, is called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we're thankful for the word of God and for the actions and the blessing that we see here in the early church. Lord, we see for the burden, the compassion for souls. Lord, for your compassion, for your burden. Lord, to die for our sin. And Lord, to see laborers and to see the work that you've called us to do, empowered by thy Holy Spirit. And Lord, we pray that today you would truly work in thy word here in this church, in our lives, in our hearts, to be about your business until you come again. Lord, we praise you. We want to practice, and we realize you meet with us today, and we ask for your power through the word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, which is a familiar verse to us, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." When he came to the end of his life here on this earth, he gave us the Great Commission. He said, "We're to teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you." So the reality is that the commission that God gave to us is the building and the starting of churches. It's the saving of souls. It's evangelism. We understand that. It's gathering them together by scriptural baptism by immersion. It's gathering them together and teaching them, discipling them. And that's what the church does. And Jesus said, "I'll build my church." And he's talking about local churches and individual towns and places. He's talking about this church. He's talking about churches throughout the ages. And he's talking about churches until he comes again. And he said there would always be a church that stood and preached and stood on the word of God and practiced the things of the New Testament. And God promised us to have that kind of church. And he wants those churches in our communities, in our towns. And he wants those churches to continue to birth others and to bring forth others. I never really thought of myself as a church planter. That kind of pioneering spirit that knew, you know, to do something just new, brand new, you know. I was an assistant in a church in Pennsylvania for 7 years. In the midst of that, I became the interim pastor for a time as the pastor left because of sin. So the Lord was burdening our heart about some different things. We thought about the mission field. We're in the process of beginning deputation to go to Guatemala, Central America. And God called us. He set that aside. We became the interim pastor in that church. And when the new pastor came in, I went back to being his assistant. I promised him a year. I said, you know, I'll stay and help you with the transition. And then we're going to look for something else. And the Lord never allowed us really to go back to the mission field part of it. But he continued to burden our hearts. And in that year, we had a lot of opportunities, but I had promised to stay a year. So I kind of put those things aside. And year two, there wasn't as many opportunities. And we didn't know how God was leading. And one day he called me in his office. He says, "What do you know? What do you think about Long Island, New York?" Well, I'd never been there, didn't know anything about it. He said, "Well, there's a building up there." He said, "It used to be a church. It's closed down. And they want something to come up and start it up again." And so we went up there. We looked around, and the Lord was leading us there. And so we started Bayview Baptist Church in Mastic Beach, Long Island, New York. We're about 5 blocks from the ocean. Rarely went in it. We used to walk down there and pay for things, you know. But we were very close. And God blessed that church. We saw many people saved. There are 2 men in the ministry today. Because of it, another church started because of it, other things that God did. And after 11 years, he led us here to Illinois. But I believe in the local church. I believe God wants us. It's the answer that God has given us. It's the answer that we have for today. It's the means by which the gospel is to be preached and the gospel is to be taken both in our communities and around the world. It's God's plan. And as God's plan, he's provided all that it needs. And he's given us that which we have today in his word, in his Holy Spirit that indwells us, allows us, and empowers us. He's given us that which is necessary to do his work until he comes. Can I tell you this? God's not done. He's not done. There are young people that are going to be saved this week. And that's not only going to be true at Grace Baptist Church, it's going to be true around the state, the nation, the world. We had our VBS a couple weeks ago. We're a little bit smaller than you are. We saw, I think I had 5 young people saved. And God bless. 2 of my grandchildren, I have twin grandchildren that are 6 years old. And my son made it very clear. He said beforehand, he said, now, they've been asking about being saved. But he said, I don't want anyone just leading them to the Lord. He said, my goal is that they get saved one time. Well, we know that's all that's necessary, you know, but with children sometimes it's 3 or 4 times. He said, my goal is one time. And so, sure enough, day one, Chase, the boy, it's a boy and a girl, they're twins. And Chase, sure enough, he come back, he wanted to get saved. Grandma dealt with him a little bit, went through the plan of salvation, but she didn't let him pray. That night he asked Dad, I need to get saved. Sure enough, he got saved. Reagan, the little girl, she got later in the week. I think it was Thursday night. She said to Dad, listen, Dad, I want to be saved. So what a blessing. What a blessing. My grandchildren that are of age, that are understanding, are saved. We have 9 grandchildren. I think 5 or 6 of them know the Lord at this point. And that next generation. God's not done. He's not done. And the reason we know that is because he hasn't come back yet. When he comes, he'll be done. And we'll be done. And praise God, we'll go, as the brother said, to serve him for eternity and live with him for eternity. But right now, we serve him here. Right now, God has called us as a church, Grace Baptist Church, or First Baptist Church of Pecatonica, or churches in our association, or churches that are around that preach the gospel, God has called us to do his work. And I believe part of that is to reproduce ourselves in other churches, and to start churches, and to strengthen churches that exist already, and to help them through the word of God, and through that which God has allowed us to be a part of. I want you to see this morning, and the title of my message is, what does it take to start a church? What does it take to start a church? And we could entitle it, what does it take to keep a church going? We could entitle it, you know, just simply, What is the church's purpose today? But the truth is that God wants us to be involved in reaching others for Jesus Christ. That's what missions is all about. That's what happens here in Acts 13. Now, Acts 13 is what we look at as the beginning of foreign missions. But it's the same thing as they go from place to place. What are they doing? Evangelizing, gathering together, ordaining elders, putting the church together, discipling. They're starting churches. They're building churches. This isn't the beginning of that. We could go back to Acts chapter 1. I believe it's verse 14, and the Bible says there was in that upper room 120. Before long, as they prayed and fasted and waited on God, the day of Pentecost came about. And when the day of Pentecost came about, we know this great outworking of the Holy Spirit began, and thousands were saved. The Bible says 3,000 men. There may have been more, obviously, of families and women and children, whatever it might be. But God broke it open. And the Bible tells us that he added to the church daily such as should be saved. And it wasn't very long before we come, and the persecution begins, and God is working, and people are getting saved, but now they scatter. And the gospel goes to the Samaritans, and the gospel goes to the Gentiles. And we come here in the church at Antioch, who has become this Gentile church that God has used, and it has exploded as well, and God is working. And he says, listen, don't stay there. Now, Barnabas and Saul, you need to go. And you need to go from place to place, and you need to do the work that God's called us to do as a representative of that church and of other churches. So I want us to see this morning what it takes to start a church, to build a church, to continue a church, to make a church grow, if you will, and all those things we could entitle this. But I want you to see, first of all, that it takes a God committed to saving and sanctifying souls. It takes a God committed to saving and sanctifying souls. Do we have that kind of God, folks? Sure we do. And it doesn't take very much. We understand that the gospel is the work that God is doing in the lives of men. Why did he send his son, Jesus Christ? To seek and to save that which was lost. He came to seek you and I. Aren't you glad that someone came and told us about Jesus Christ? That God cared about your soul? That God cared about my soul? I could take you this morning. I was 5 years old, but I remember it as if it was yesterday. I could take you to the house of the lady that babysat me, who was a Sunday school teacher in our church. My mom and dad both worked, and she watched me in the summers when I wasn't in school yet, and she watched me throughout the year. And one day she sat myself and her daughter, who was a year younger than me, and she sat us down on the couch, and she began to preach to us the gospel. And I had heard it many times. Then she had an invitation. She didn't sing Just As I Am or anything, but she had an invitation, and she had us, and we bowed our head, and she said, if you want to be saved. And I prayed and asked Jesus to save me. Now, her daughter didn't. Of course, I was a snotty little five-year-old, and so when we were done, I said, I'm going to heaven, you're going to hell. But I remember what it was to be saved. I still like that confidence. That assurance that God gives us. Why? Because that's God's work. That's the work of the gospel. The good news is that Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. The good news is that he wants to save, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The good news is even in the name of this church, grace. That God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. My favorite verse in Scripture, that he would die for me while I was a sinner. Romans chapter 3, we often quote verse 23, thinking about the sinfulness of men. But the verses around it, he says in verse 21, he says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Jew, Gentile, doesn't matter. Salvation is unto all. It's available to you this morning. God cares about your soul. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants you to be saved today if you're not. And if you are, he wants you to rejoice in the grace of God and the mercy of God that he gave to us. What a blessing to know. The Bible says you can know that you're saved. You can know that you have eternal life. He goes on, he says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. It's not our righteousness. Man, I'm so glad that it's not my righteousness, that my good works, I don't have to depend on them to get me to heaven. It's a grace of God. It's a mercy of God that he would allow me to be saved. We serve a God. We have a God who cares about souls. We have a God who's given us the gospel, who wants men to be saved. People look at this world and they say, oh, the terribleness of this world and the things that are going on and all the, how could a God of love, how could God? I don't know how God can't just destroy this world for its sinfulness. By his mercy and his grace, he's provided a way for you to be saved. And he's still saving souls. He's still working in lives. He's still going to save boys and girls and teenagers and young adults and adults into their whatever. Until the day you die, you have the opportunity. The gospel. Jesus cared about souls. Matthew 9, verse 36 says, but when he saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest field. Jesus cared, compassion. You may know, but that Greek word is the idea, literally the idea of intestines or in the stomach. It's something that gripped him. His compassion for souls. His desire to see people saved. They were sheep without a shepherd. He had compassion on them. John 4, we know the story of the woman at the well, how he led her to Christ. How his disciples afterward go into town looking for food. And Jesus said in verse 32, but he said unto them, after they asked him to eat, he said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? You know, it's not unusual for the disciples to miss the spiritual connotation of things. But sometimes it's true for us as well. It's about souls. And sometimes we miss that. And he said, Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look in the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Jesus told the disciples, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You see, God cared about souls, and he cares about souls. The gospel is the work of God, God is doing in the lives of men. The gospel is also the work empowered by the Holy Spirit. You know, we think sometimes that if I say the right things, I used to think this, you know, back when early in the ministry, different things, I thought if someone would just sit down with me and let me go through the plan of salvation and I would give the plan and do the right things, that, man, how could they not get saved? But have you done that? Have you seen people not get saved? I'm sure, Pastor, you've seen people sit in this auditorium you knew were lost, hear the gospel. Stories told of Jonathan Edwards when he preached that great message, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, how that the people gripped the pews in front of them to keep them from falling into hell. And many were saved that day, but the part we don't often tell about is that there were many that walked out without Christ. It's hard to believe that somebody would, and yet the power of the Holy Spirit in a person's life, that he would use us, that he would use his word, that God said, I will go. Jesus said, I'm going to go. He said, when I go, I'm going to send a comforter unto you, and he'll reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He said, the Spirit of God will work in hearts. And folks, we're responsible to give the gospel. But it's the Spirit of God that works in the heart. And it's the Spirit of God that does the actual witnessing, if you will. Acts 1:8, after that, you shall be witnesses unto me. After that, what? After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. So the fact that the Spirit of God, so what does that tell us? That tells us that as Christians, when you get saved, and the Spirit of God comes to live within you, you're to be a witness. You're to let the Spirit of God witness through you. You're to let the Spirit of God use you and his word to speak to hearts. He wants to use us. God cares about souls. That's why he gave the Spirit. That's why the Holy Spirit came. Jesus cared about souls. The Holy Spirit came that the gospel might be empowered. In John 16, verse 7, he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. And if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Jesus was the epitome of all that. And when he went back to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit to work through us. And he promised that when the Spirit of God has come upon you, you shall be witnesses. And that's the promise of the gospel. God cares about souls. He cares about saving souls and sanctifying them. The gospel is the work of God It's the work of God through the powering of the Holy Spirit. It's the work of God that he's given to the church. God cares. You know why he put the church here? You know why he organized the church with his disciples? You know why he empowered it with the Holy Spirit on that day of Pentecost? Because we have a job to do in reaching souls for Christ. God cares, and he left us a church. And I'm so thankful for my churches that I grew up in, my pastor. I had the privilege of really growing up under one pastor. God blessed me in that. He was a tremendous preacher of the gospel. He loved the word of God. And he loved people, and God blessed that church. But the church is God's plan for today. Matthew 16:18, again, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Matthew 28, you shall be witnesses unto me, telling others. 2 Peter 3:9, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Matthew 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's a promise given to those seven churches in that early part of the second, third chapter of Revelation. Churches, literal local churches that existed. He said, listen, I'm going to knock on the door. I'll use you. I'll work through you. Open the door. You do that. You do that in your witnessing. You do that, you know, in VBS. You do that in your Sunday services, whatever. You open the door for people to come to Christ. Why? Because God cares about souls. So the whole point is that it takes a God who cares about the salvation and the sanctification of souls. We have a God like that. It is his plan. It is his work. It is his purpose. But I got to tell you, secondly, we need people committed to serving God. Now, if we're thinking about a church plant, we think about a team or a family, a man. But we need people committed to serving God. How did the gospel go forth in the book of Acts? How did that church go forward? He went forward because his people, God called them, God put them in a place, they were used of God. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. Now, you ask anybody today, the reality of eyewitness testimony isn't really all so hot sometimes. And you get two or three people that have seen the exact same thing, and they haven't seen the exact same thing. And so eyewitness testimony, but the truth is you can't truly witness about the love of Christ and the shed blood of Christ and the salvation of Christ and the blood that was shed and our sins being washed away and the confidence of eternal life until you have it. Amen? We come to the Lord's Supper. Lord's Supper is, he says, examine yourself. You can't remember something that hasn't already happened in your life. If you're not born again, it's pretty difficult for you to tell somebody else about being born again or that they have to be born and they need to be born again. Now, there were those who tried. Paul says there are people that are trying to witness, and they're doing it in order to put persecution upon Paul. And Paul said, I don't care how it's done as long as the gospel goes out. But I think we understand that the power is in the believer. It's in the witness. It's in the person who gives himself. The Bible says here in Acts 13, he says, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. God calls men, sent forth by the Holy Ghost. It says, and they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, in verse 4, that they were witnesses. Listen, God can witness. Are you ready? Paul says in Romans chapter 1, he said, I am ready. I'm ready. He said, I'm a debtor. But he said, I'm ready. And then he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Corinthians, he talks about that. He talks about the fact that he's an ambassador. We're ambassadors for Christ. That God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ that be ye reconciled to God. We stand in Christ's stead. In the power of the Holy Spirit, it's our responsibility. God wants to use us. Now, I believe God calls people to specific things. God may call your young people, mission field, church planting, whatever. Serve God in some way. What a blessing. Pastor Taylor's here. You know, I mean, that's got to be exciting for you. To have a young man, the pastor told me, he just got saved in the office. And you know, young man that's been trained and has been pastoring, now he's back here to serve in his local church. And I often wished I could do that. My church is kind of, as my pastor went home to be with the Lord, it kind of began to go the wrong direction. So I couldn't be there today. But what a blessing. What a blessing to see that. Is he going to be the last one? Hopefully not. God calls us to things. He calls us to places, not just young people, but each of us. Are you ready? If God would put in your path someone who needs to be saved, are you ready? Are you willing? Do you understand the debt that we have that someone told us? It takes people committed to serving God, to being used as God would allow us to be used. Paul said in 2 Timothy 1, he said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Timothy was Paul's, as best as I can tell, he was Paul's son in the faith. And somewhere along the line, Paul had led Timothy to Christ, but it wasn't only Paul's testimony. It was his mother. It was his grandmother that were used of God. Their faith, used of God. I look at the heritage that God has given me. I told you my grandchildren, several of them know Christ. And the twins, 6 years old, got saved this week. My children, four of them, I have four children. They, by the grace of God, again, they're all in independent Baptist churches this morning, serving God. My daughter and her husband are in Indiana. They're in a church. Their pastor just resigned. I told her, I'm praying for you today. It's going to be a different day. This is kind of the goodbye today. It's different. You know, you feel for them, the need there. But I have four children. I have nine grandchildren. But my parents, my wife, my wife's parents, they were in our church before they went home to be with the Lord. It's her home church. My grandparents, both sides of my family and hers. But my grandparents knew the Lord. My grandmother, they were Mennonite. She wore the cap and the bib dresses and the black stockings and all that. But she believed, she was born again. She loved the Lord. When I was first an assistant, we were on the radio. We taped it ahead of time. And most of the time, it was our pastor did the message, about a 15-minute message. But occasionally, he would have me do it, you know, as the assistant. And it was late at night. It was 10:30 on a Sunday night. And my grandmother, she'd lay in bed, and she'd listen to the broadcast. If it was Pastor Buck that was preaching, she'd get in bed and get down under the covers and usually fall asleep before it was over. If it was me, she'd sit up in bed, make sure she didn't fall asleep, and listen. But she loved the Lord. I had the privilege of doing her funeral. It was a blessing to be able to talk about her testimony, her love for the Lord. But heritage, generation after generation. Where does that come from? It comes from people that see the need to serve God, to give a witness, to tell the next generation about Christ, and the generation after that. And how is the church built? It's built because God cares about souls, but it's built because people care about serving Him and wanting to follow His purpose and His will. Church after church, and it comes down to churches starting churches and churches helping others. Philippians 4, he says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly, and now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned of whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Now we quote that verse a lot, but that verse has to do with serving God. I can serve God. I can do whatever God wants me to do, whatever He calls me to do, whatever place He puts me to do it, I can do it through Him. It's not just that I can do anything in Christ, but I can serve Him. I can have His power. God leads us in specific ways and specific times. It's interesting that the Apostle Paul, just about everywhere he went, he was kicked out of. You know, he didn't last very long. But he counted it a joy. He counted it a blessing. He said the care of all the churches. You read 2 Corinthians where he talks about how that he was shipwrecked and he was beaten and he was stoned and he was, I mean, just one after another. And the care of the churches. Did Paul ever get discouraged? Sure. He said, I learned how to be abased. I learned how to abound. I learned how to continue and keep serving God. The call to serve Him is truly given to each of us as His children. It's given specifically at times, as he says here in Acts 13, specifically to go to a specific place and do a specific thing. In Acts 16, Paul wanted to go to Phrygia and he wanted to go to Galatia, and the Bible says the Holy Ghost forbade him to do it. And then we have the Macedonian call, the vision. And he goes to Macedonia and that church in Philippi is started. And then in chapter 17, we have Thessalonica and Berea, some of the great churches that were given to us and that were started. Because God led him, God directed him. You know, we need to find that place that God wants us to serve. We need to be busy for the Lord. That's how the church is built. That's how a church is started, when there's a burden to serve Christ. And so we see we need a God who cares about souls, and we have that. We need people who want to serve the Lord. Lastly, we need churches committed to succeeding in the Great Commission. We need churches committed to succeeding in the Great Commission. God's given us a plan. God's given us a purpose. The local church is responsible for carrying out the Great Commission. You know the verse. We've quoted it already and talked about it in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Can I tell you this? I was challenged years ago with that one simple word, both. Both. Now, for us, we think both two things. You know, both of these things. But in the Greek word here is the idea of completely, or all, or the idea of all at the same time. In other words, the Great Commission is not just about foreign missions, folks, and nor is it just about our local area and witnessing for Christ here. It's about our Jerusalem, which is your local community. It's about Judea, which is a regional purpose. We would liken it to our state, even to our nation. And then Samaria. Samaria is cross-cultural. In New York, one of the things, we never had to worry about cross-cultural. We had people from all different cultures, all different places. Here, and in where we are, it's not the case. So I can reach my Jerusalem, I can be involved in my Jerusalem, but Judea, I need help. Can I just tell you, you're not going to reach people in Pecatonica? 3.5 hours north. We're not going to reach people in Taylorville. Local churches. So we need help, don't we? We need help regionally. Samaria, we need help cross-culturally. I mean, all we can do is try to reach the people that are in our neighborhood. We ought to be open to anyone and everyone, right? But I tell you, you go some places and you don't have to worry about cross-cultural. People from all different races, cultures, peoples. But we need help with that. We need help with uttermost. And folks, we've been doing that forever. Our missions, I don't know about you, but we don't support. We have, I think, 36 missionary families in our missions family at First Baptist Church in Pecatonica. Typically, we support them about $110 a month. That's kind of our thing. Some are local. We have some church planters in Shorewood, different ones. North Dakota, we had a church there and different things. But we don't support any of them completely. Now you may do that, but most churches don't. Most churches don't take a missionary and support him for all support. Most missionaries, that's not what they want anyway, but occasionally, I mean, that'd be kind of, I wouldn't have to travel around, wouldn't have to, you know, have to do anything. But they want the prayer support, and it's just typically, it's not, you know, we want to reach different parts of the world. I don't know about you, but I like having all over. We have a missionary, you know, that works with a church in Beirut, Lebanon. Man, I love getting those letters. Man, it is so exciting. There's a church, there's a Baptist church in Beirut. I'm like, man alive, this is really something. I love those letters, but just as much as you're going Uruguay. Do you support Brother Rayfelt? Who do you have in? Yeah, we support Brother Rayfelt too. Do you know what? We're not the only two churches that support Brother Rayfelt. We come together. Now, you didn't make us support him, and we didn't make you support him, but praise God, we came together so that Brother Rayfelt could get to Uruguay. And that's one of the things I'm amazed at as I travel, is I look at people, you know, a lot of churches put the pictures up on a wall. We have a TV screen that has a PowerPoint. You can go through all our missionaries and letters and all that kind of thing. But people use different formats and what have you. But I'm amazed at how often I'll go into an independent Baptist church in our association that may have one or two missionaries that we support, that they support, and the rest of them are totally different. You know what that tells me? God leads different churches, different ways to support different people. But those missionaries all need churches to support them to get to the field. We've been doing that. We do that. We continue to do that. We ought to do that. What about our region? Our association is about churches coming together to start churches in our region. Judea. Samaria. There's some churches that we need to plant cross-culturally. Maybe it's Springfield. Maybe it's Chicago. Maybe it's... But there's a need. That's our responsibility. You can't say, Jesus said, both Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost. You can't say, well, listen, we're doing a good job in Jerusalem, and we love to reach foreign missions. We're not going to touch our Judea or our Samaria. If we're going to be a church that God wants you to be, and if my church is going to be what it ought to be, we have to reach all of them. And do our best to do that until he comes. We're responsible for the Great Commission. We're responsible to meet the needs of each other in our churches. I was telling your pastor, one of the things that's burdened me that I didn't think was even going to be part of this was the fact that we have a lot of churches in our state that are smaller, that are struggling. And we need to start churches, but you know, sometimes we need to prop up the churches we have. We need to help the churches we have. There's a man on the board, I won't tell you who it is, but he was asking prayer requests. Their church needed a small church, 25, 30 people. Their church needed a roof. You say, well, church will take care of itself, you know, but God burdened my heart. He said, we've raised about half, and he said, we need some more, and God burned my heart, and I went to our church. I said, listen, this church needs a roof. God's blessed us. Let's take some money. Let's give it so they can put a roof on their church. We can't do that for everybody. But God burdens us different things. That's why communication is so important, to know where the needs are, to know what's happening. You know, they did that in the New Testament. Jerusalem was the mother church. That's where it all started. But before long, because of persecution, because of trouble, when Paul was on his missionary journeys, you know what he was doing? He was gathering an offering for the church at Jerusalem. You say, well, couldn't Jerusalem take care of itself? Well, sure, wasn't it an independent Baptist church? Yes. New Testament church, whatever. But yes. And yet, other churches... we're helping prop up that church. I don't know how God leads us. I mean, there's so many. I can tell why Paul said the care of all the churches. One of the things that's been a burden is, You know, as a pastor, maybe this is why, but as a pastor, my focus was on First Baptist Church. But now my focus is on the care of all the churches. I have any control. I don't have it, but I can pray for them. I'm burdened for them. I can let you know that there's churches that have needs. Folks, God wants to build his church. He's not done. He cares about souls. If we're going to build a church, if we're going to see churches started, if we're going to see churches grow, we have to care about souls. I believe you do that. You wouldn't put all this work and effort and money. I know how much VBS costs. Some people would say, we spend so much money and it's just kids. You know, it's just kids that God wants to save, that grow up to be adults, standing for Christ, living in the church, pastoring, missionaries, deacons, faithful churchgoers. God's not done. He's not done. Listen, folks, we can get real cynical and real, you know, my daughter said it to me yesterday. She lives in Indiana, and her husband's she has a job, but it's kind of things are up in the air, and there's a chance that they might have to move back to Illinois, and she says, I don't want to move back to Illinois. You know, we can get very cynical about our state. But God loves our state. God loves our leadership. God loves, isn't pleased with it, but he... Can we still win souls in Illinois? Can we still start churches in Illinois? Can we still serve God in Illinois? Sure. And I tell you it again, you know why? He hasn't come yet. When he's done with Illinois, he's not going to just come and get the Christians in Illinois. He wants us to be about his business until he comes. That's why the angel said, this same Jesus, who you've seen go up into heaven, shall come in like manner as you've seen him go. Right after he said, ye shall be witnesses unto me. Folks, let's be the witness that God wants us to be. Let's do the work that God's called us to do. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we are so mindful of the need around us. Mindful of the souls that have never heard, even in our communities. The children, the teenagers, the adults, the young people. Lord, we can criticize and we can talk about the millennial or the Gen X or the whatever it might be, but Lord, they're searching. Help us be about your business. Thank you for your compassion, your love for souls. Thank you for allowing us to serve you and to be your witness. Thank you for churches like this one that truly want to see the gospel go forward. Lord, in our hearts, even this day, with our heads bowed and eyes closed and